We're actually early. Corey was so punctual today and had a really good lesson. So if you haven't seen it, make sure you stick around. It's really good. I'm still suffering, I think, from the change to daylight savings time because I feel lazy. Anyway, bear with me this morning. Should I move that down maybe a little bit? Coming in pretty strong. I've asked Todd to lead us in a word of prayer, and we want to start with that. I thought I'd ask if there are any prayer requests this morning. I know I won't put Todd on the spot there too much. I know we need to remember Tyrone, and there's certainly those on our list in the bulletin. Those that come to mind right off the bat would include Bob Atkinson. Want to remember the Shepherd family? Well, Janice and I went over to Katy this week for Doug Shepherd's funeral. And the minister, the young man, he was the associate minister that delivered the lesson at the end of the funeral. He spoke a lot about our lesson today, which is on becoming a more loving person, and his example was Doug Shepherd. I know most of you guys don't know this fellow, but he was a shepherd of the flock for many years there in Katy, and his name was very fitting. He was a very loving fellow, and the sermon that minister preached really echoes a lot of what we're going to talk about today. So, and I feel rather inadequate talking about becoming a more loving person. My family will probably acknowledge that. You know, us guys in particular are probably not very focused on becoming a more loving, kind person. And so I would encourage you gentlemen to listen as we go through this because I found a lot of the information to be relevant to my life as we progress. Todd?
Almighty God in heaven, we come to you. And we thank you very much for this time together. Almighty God, we pray that we'd open up our hearts and our minds to your word today, as our brother Roe brings to us what he's been working on and thinking about. Almighty God, we thank you for the blessings that we have with this Christian family as we encourage one another. As we encourage one another to good works in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Dear God, we have those that we want to pray for at this time. Our brother Tyrone is off on another mission trip. We ask that you would bless him. Bless him and those that he's in contact with. Pray for Bob Atkinson, Jude. Continue to help him with his healing, and thank you for taking care of them. And thank you. We ask that you continue to support and comfort the Shepherd family and all those around, as only you can comfort them. We ask that you prayers for the Biggs as they're continuing to suffer from health problems and. Still trying to overcome the loss of their son. And we know there's many more to pray for, Lord, and we just know that you know each of them and that you will comfort them, that you'll provide them your peace. We just thank you that we have you to lean on. Dear God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your awesome love that we have in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you. Just a little refresher. Last week we talked about prayer and how prayer is an essential part of our spiritual growth. Our prayers should contain both praise and requests. We are to present or be persistent with our prayers. We are instructed to pray for everything. The Spirit does assist us in our prayer. We're to pray with the proper motivation that God's will be done. And prayer needs to be a vital part of our daily living. It is an essential part of growing spiritually. Today's lesson, as I've mentioned, is called Becoming a More Loving Person. We're going to talk about five things we can do to help us become a more loving person, experiencing God's love, forgiving your enemies, thinking loving thoughts, acting in love, and expecting the best. Simple five steps. And you probably won't remember those five steps, but you will remember things that we discuss as we go through each of those steps. We find two Greek words in the New Testament used for love, and up here what you see is a verb and the corresponding noun. And we've used both of them in this class. We've talked about phileo, which is emotional affection, or friendship. Brotherly love is what you would know it as. It is more of a feeling. We've also talked about agape, or agapeo. And this is the unconditional, sacrificial love. This is very similar to God's love. This is exactly God's love. For us, it's what he tells us we need to have for one another. And in fact, all of the scriptures today, everything we look at, the root is always agape. Remember that. So we're talking, when we talk about love, that is this particular fruit of the Spirit, even in Galatians 5:22, that's the word we're looking at, agape. When the Bible speaks of God's love for us and the kind of love we're to have for him, it is always agape. Agape signifies a commitment to act. Okay? It's about giving that love. It's an action. The word love is easily misunderstood. We use it in all kinds of context in our culture. We use it to simply mean I like something a lot. But because we use it in so many different contexts, it can be confusing. It's real important that we understand that Christian love, or what Christian love is, and that it's not all of these things. I love America. I love pizza. I love my dog. I love you. We use it in a lot of different ways, and it can become confusing. So it's real important that we understand what it is in order to enable us to give it. There are several common misconceptions that I want to speak to right off the bat. Most people think that love is a feeling. And we're going to look at the scripture, and I hope that you can understand it, that Christian love that we're talking about is not a feeling. And then secondly, many people think it's uncontrollable. And that's not biblical. I'm going to also show you scripture where hopefully you'll understand that it is something we control. It's something, in fact, we choose. Love does produce feelings, but it's much more than a feeling. Colossians 3:14, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. If you recall, Colossians is one of those lists where you find a lot of the fruit of the Spirit. Specifically, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, and love. Love is something we put on. If you're going to put it on, that means you make a choice. You consciously choose to put it on. So the natural inference, the necessary inference, is that we can control it. So agape love is something we can control. It is a choice. Love is also an action. It's not a feeling. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us love with words or tongue. Pardon me. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. It is something we do. It is an action. Again, every time you see the word love in these passages, it is some form of agape. So It's a matter of choice. We can control it. And it's an action, not a feeling. That brings us to our first passage we want to look at. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. I've asked somebody to read that. Is that Elton? Yeah.
Yes, I have. I have the a slightly different version
That's
from
fine.
The one on the screen. But beginning in verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Okay. To be strengthened with power through his spirit and in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God.
Okay, thank you. A couple of points. And his translation was read the same way. We are rooted in love. We are established in love. His translation said grounded in love. You remember the vine? You know our base text for this? Jesus said he is the vine and we are the branches. So we are rooted in love, in Christ's love, in God's love. We can't do anything apart from the vine. You separate us from the vine, we wither and die. Remain in Christ, and he'll remain in you. We must grasp how deeply God loves us. That's verse 18. If you look at the Living Bible, they actually translate this word grasp as feel and understand. That means experience God's love. You should be able to do that. And that we know that his love surpasses knowledge. That's verse 19. The Living Bible translates that word know as experience. So it's important that we experience God's love. So even if you have no frame of reference for what love is, and I believe it's a learned behavior. It's something we learn. So even if you haven't seen it in other people, you should be able to find it in God's Word. You should be able to experience God's love for you through the Word. Why is it important that we feel loved by God or by anyone else? Why is it important to feel loved? Why is it important to experience love? What do you think? Got to get you engaged. Everybody's sleepy like me this morning, huh? Yeah. Time change? What about? That's right. How can we frame that? Value? Somebody said, you feel valuable? Why do you need to feel loved?
I don't think we can teach others about Jesus if we don't have love.
We have to be grounded and rooted in Christ's love. So it's necessary for teaching. What else? Yes, ma'am.
Basis of our faith. We didn't feel loved by God. If we have no faith in him, then everything is just meaningless.
It should be our motivation. It's part of our faith. It's essential to our faith. Here's a couple of my thoughts. Unloved people are often unloving people. Okay? If I do not feel love, then it's difficult for me to give love. And it is an action. It's something that I give. We need to experience God's love ourselves. And once again, even if you had, you come from a background that gave you no frame of reference, no people in your life that were loving, you should be able to see God's love for you and develop and experience God's love for you in your life through His Word. Next question. You thought I just had one today, huh? Is it possible to love someone that you do not like? That's right. We're commanded to love. Whoops. We are commanded to love. We don't have to like them. We got to love them. Is it possible to love someone that you do not like? Very good. Very, very correct. Todd, was that you that was going to say something?
When I think about love, I also intertwine in there the word compassion. And the depth of compassion that you have for your fellow person has different levels. And I mean, if I see someone that I really don't care for very much, I don't like being with them, the way they act, whatever it is, I don't click with them. But if I see them get hurt, then I have all of a sudden, I'm very concerned about them. You see, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so everybody has a little level of compassion.
We're called to imitate God. God's love for us is big. Okay? That's the only word I know to describe it. In verse 18, the prayer is that we have the power to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep Jesus' love for us is. God's love for us is big. I don't know any other way to describe it. So yes, we are commanded to love, not necessarily like them. It is easy to love people who are kind and loving, but it may be challenging to love someone that is harsh, rude, mean-spirited, argumentative, and the like. Do you know anybody like that? Have you encountered anyone like that in your life? I mean, maybe you've been blessed and no one like that has crossed your path. But when you come in contact with people who are just mean-spirited, I mean, they are negative as negative can be towards you. They are argumentative with everything. They never agree with you, and they're rude about it. They're harsh about it. I mean, one person comes to mind. It was a professional relationship, but I've run across these guys in the past. Yeah, Bill's shaking his head. I mean, in business, and you don't understand why they behave that way. I've come to realize it's because I've changed so much. I'm trying to grow spiritually. I'm trying to become more and more like Christ, and I just can't relate to some of these guys, but I'm still commanded to love them. And that last bullet, you know, it's interesting, but sometimes God puts people around us we don't like in order to cause us to grow. And it takes some real thinking to sometimes understand that I really need to be practicing my faith and my love to certain individuals, maybe more than others, so that I can grow. Because they just treat me terrible. Next passage. This is Luke 6, 27 through 31. I've asked someone to read that. Is that okay? Please read.
But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them.
Thank you. Now, let's look at this just a minute while I got it up there. It says, love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. So, it's not just your enemies, although your enemy may be somebody who hates you, but there are folks that hate you. Bless those who curse you. There may be people who curse you. But not just them, but for those who mistreat you. So we're talking, you know, this is a much less transgression. I'll describe it that way. I don't know if that's the right way to talk about it, but these are seemingly different degrees of enemies. If someone strikes you, so we're talking about people who might hit you, if someone takes something from you, don't demand it back. But in essence, treat others like you want to be treated. But the central message is to forgive. And forgiveness for some is easy. For others, it's challenging. When someone wrongs you, we're commanded to forgive them. We are to forgive those who hurt us. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. If you're angry or upset with somebody, it's tough to love them. In fact, it may be impossible to love them. You have to forgive them in order to fulfill the command we've been given. In order to love somebody, you got to forgive them. And it's two-dimensional. It's important to understand that if I hold a grievance against an individual or someone, it may become such a big thing that it prevents me from loving others. It's two-dimensional. So I need to understand those grievances, and I need to forgive people of those grievances. I can't carry that grudge. You know, sometimes we think, well, it's just that fella, you know, just that person. That's not true. It'll affect our relationship with other people as well. So it's real important to forgive, to bury the hatchet, so to speak. You can't give love to others when you're angry with someone else. It is impossible to love when your heart is divided. Love those we do not like. You know, we may not like the way some people talk. And by that I mean what they say. You know, there may be, some of you may not like what a certain politician says, or a certain leader in some part of the world says, or maybe it's your next door neighbor. You may not like the way they talk. You may not like the way they act or behave. You may not like the way they appear. You may not like people because they don't like you. So there are different things that affect how we interact with others. Again, we're commanded to love them. You know, I want to focus on that third bullet, the way some people dress or appear. I mean, honestly, I can remember a time in my professional career where we were doing some training for a bunch of leaders. They were managers and supervision, and we were trying to help them be better equipped to deal with the people issues in the workplace. And it just so happened my boss happened to attend the meeting. And he didn't know everybody in the company. He didn't keep tabs on them. But I knew everybody that was in the room at that particular instance. And one of the guys, if you just looked at him, you might go around him. I mean, he was a big guy. And he had piercings. And he had tats basically from here down, you know. So any of his skin that was exposed, you'd see the tattoos. He had a long goatee, and he was real scruffy looking. You might go around him. And I can remember my boss coming up to me and said, "Does that guy work for us?" He was going by appearance. And I, of course, I knew the guy. And he was one of the best workers, one of the best employees. He was one of the best leaders we had. And he worked on the graveyard shift, the third shift. And I had great confidence in that guy's leadership skills. I was confident if he was there, we were going to be all right that night, you know. But my boss went on appearance. However, I knew him. I'd made the effort to get to know him. I'll assure you, the first time I saw him and met him, I was like, whoa. But I guess, me being me, I just try to get to know him. I mean, he worked for me. That's the cards I was dealt, so let's get to know the guy. And he was a wonderful person. Anyway, don't let some of these things prevent you from loving others. We don't have to like everyone. We have to love them. So how do we do that? How do we do that? What do you think? That's right.
Because I may not look to them, but I'm sure sometimes I have to, and my perhaps behavior is not the best. But God loves me unconditionally.
I'm out of space here, so I'm going to have to get small. But the point is that our love should be unconditional. We're talking about agape love. And that's precisely what the Lord told us. Right?
But it's hard to not care for somebody you pray for.
Say that again?
It's hard to not care for somebody you pray for.
So we're commanded to pray for our enemies? You sure about that? Pretty sure? Pray for our enemies. Just to summarize. Yeah, Todd?
There's a key phrase there. There's pray, and it's for, not against, but for our enemies. We had this discussion the other night in high school class. And sometimes we're too tempted to say, God, can you just do something with them? You know, but it's not against, it's pray for our enemies, for their well-being, that they would come to God, that they would know.
Yeah, we should expect the best. Even from the people we don't like. Yeah, Randy.
John, the other key was that we said that the agape love is a choice we make.
That's right.
And so whether we like the person or not, we can choose and make that choice to love them and look over and look past the things that we don't like.
Randy said we need to choose to love. Yeah.
The sad part about this is in today's corporate world, it's an assumption of our reality. We have to live by that. Right? You have to.
Can you elaborate a little bit?
Well, without substance or assumptions are reality. And so you're walking around trying to make sure that nobody gets the wrong assumption about you or you about somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's in the corporate world, that's in a lot of cases, that's how it works.
And that can affect our behavior. You know, and many of you guys are out there in the working world. Some of you guys are students, maybe. You know, it doesn't really matter what part of life you're going through. It's a lot of the same. And you can allow the world to influence you inappropriately. We talked about that already. Remember, John talks about do not love the world. Well, the world being everything opposed to God. Well, sometimes you get caught up in these situations in business, in life, whatever it might be, and you really need to take a step back and say, how does this relate to God's Word? You know? I mean, you can lose your frame of reference. You can lose your perspective. And we're going to talk a lot about that next week. Good comments. Let's read this. I got another one? Okay.
I just wanted to say that, of course, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount covers this in detail in Matthew 5 and 44 about loving your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. And he was addressing people that hated the Romans. I mean, we don't know what hate is until we put ourselves in the shoes of the Jews that Jesus was talking to. He says, but what I was referencing was Peterson's paraphrase of this I like because he kind of gets to the heart of what you're discussing. That is, I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with energies of prayer. For then you're working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives us his best, the sun to warm and rain to nourish. to everyone, regardless, good and bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that.
Yeah. It's real easy to love the nice people, the people that think the same way we think. You know, we have a real tendency to group, subgroup, with people that think a lot like us. You know, those are the folks we want to go talk to and visit with and have socialize with. That's not necessarily how it's to be. We're supposed to love one another. That's agape love. Excellent comment. Let's move on. Is that all right, Dan?
Sure.
I'll come back to you. I want to get us back on track here. We're ready to look at John 15, 12 through 17, and this is really what we're talking about. Could you read, please?
My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, even if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other.
Okay, thank you. Focus just for a minute on verse 16. That's what I've underlined there. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. You know, this is John 15. He's still using this metaphor. He's still teaching from this illustration of the vine. And he's telling us to go and bear fruit. In other words, love others by bearing fruit. This is my command: love each other. So this brings us to the third point that I want to talk to. We've talked about experiencing God's love, and we also need to work on forgiving others. But think loving thoughts. So what do you think it means to think loving thoughts? That's right. Look for good. Look for good in others. I think the key word here is first thing we need to do is start looking. What else? Positive? Who said that? Be positive? Positive attitude is real important. Again, we're going to talk a lot about that next week. We're going to talk about joy next week. What else? What do you think it means to think loving thoughts? You remember we spent a little time in Philippians. We've talked about, you know, our actions begin with our thoughts. You know, it's about what we think. What we're putting into our mind creates feelings which lead to behavior. And we want to make sure that we're thinking about the right things. Anything come to mind? Yes, ma'am. So patience, and kindness are pretty important in loving others. And in fact, that word in the text, we're going to get to it, okay? You can't hardly talk about love without at least touching 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to talk a little bit about it, but that word love is agape. In fact, that whole text, that whole chapter, that's agape love. So patience and kindness, this is two more of the fruits of the Spirit. And I'll submit that that's love in action. Okay? Kindness and patience. All right. Let's keep moving. Dan, did you have a comment?
I'd probably be out of place here.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Okay. It means that we focus on people's needs and not just on our own. Philippians 2 and 4, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. So you need to be paying attention to where other people are at in their lives. Look for opportunity. Again, the key word is look. Be positive. Don't be negative. Focus on the positive things that are out there. Love is patient and kind. Look for opportunity to do good. Don't grow weary in doing good. Romans 12, 20 through 21. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So those folks that you don't like, you really, really need to make an effort to do good for them. Look beyond people's faults and see their needs. Again, the key word is look. The least lovable people in the world need love more than anything else. Now, you should be able to understand that in raising children or being around children. Kids need love. They really do. They need love. They need all kinds of love, but they need love. But big kids are the same way. They need love. This brings us to the fourth point. We need to act in love. So we've experienced God's love. We need to be more forgiving. We need to think loving thoughts. And then we need to put it into action. Jesus' command is to love each other. Again, the Greek word is agape. Choose to love others whether you feel like it or not. If we begin to act lovingly, soon we feel more loving. This all begins with how we think. Jesus tells us to act in love even to those that do not like us. When we act lovingly, we are displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Which brings us to 1 Corinthians. I'm only going to look at verse 4 through 7 because here, truly, the Spirit has given us a definition. And I want you to look at it in two ways because he tells us about love from two different perspectives. He says love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. So notice that the Spirit doesn't just tell us what love is, it tells us what it is not. It's real important to understand there's two perspectives there that we need to take when we talk about what love is. We need to not just do what we know to do, but we need to make sure we don't do certain things as well. This brings us to the last point. So, experience God's love, forgive others, think loving thoughts, act in love, and the last one is expect the best. And it comes right out of that same text, 1 Corinthians 13. Expect the best of even those you don't like. If you love someone, and I wanted to clip this translation specifically, this is the Living Bible. It says, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. In other words, in order to love them, I really need to expect the best of them. Not just the people I do like, but the people I don't like. If I'm going to love them, I need to expect the best of them. I want them to succeed. You expect good things for even your enemies. That's really hard. Think about it a little bit. We influence others by how we treat them. So treat others like you believe in them. Treat others like you expect the best of them. And treat others as though you are ready to defend them. You know, love is pretty vast. And we could spend a whole quarter on it easily. I focus back on 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And these are those five steps that we've talked about. There are a whole lot of others, but please try to remember, in order to love, we need to experience God's love. If I don't feel loved, then it's difficult for me to give love. Forgive those who have hurt you. It's two-dimensional. If I can't forgive and put those grievances behind me, it not only affects my relationship with the individual that I have a grievance with, but it may also affect my relationship with others whom I love, whom I like. Think loving thoughts. Look beyond people's faults. Don't just get hung up with their appearance. Look beyond their faults and see their needs. Try to influence them through acts of goodness, acts of kindness. Act in love. Choose to love others. It is something we choose to do. We control it. It's not a feeling. It's action. And expect the best even of those who do not love you. And that brings us to the end of the lesson today. Any comments before we close? You're all ready to go. Well, I tell you what. My charge to you as you leave is to take some time this week and meditate on 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Take some time and meditate. Read through it three or four times and really think about what's being said there. And understand that the word love in that text is agape. Unconditional, sacrificial love. Thanks and have a good day.